We have been studying 1 Thessalonians the past few Sundays, and we'll continue to do so, Lord willing, and as the Lord leads. And this morning I want us to focus our attention on part of verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 9. It says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." The thought that I want us to receive this morning is that salvation is a simple matter because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. There are many thoughts that are given today as far as salvation is concerned. And some of those are confusing. They imply that we have to get better before we can get saved. They say that we have to repent. And that Jesus Christ has got to be Lord before you can be saved. And I'm not sure that we'll have time to cover all that I had planned on covering this morning. But the point I want you to get is this. In this verse, verse 9, it says that they turned to God. That's the first thing they did. They didn't turn from their idols first. They did not repent like we read in Matthew chapter 3. When John asked the Pharisees to bring forth fruit to give evidence that you've repented. And the point I think of is this, when do you know that you, if repentance is required for salvation, when do you know that you have repented enough? You can't. And that's really not the way of salvation. The way of salvation is turning to God and leaving those things that will not and do not satisfy. I like the phrase in this verse 9 where it says, to serve the living and true God. Idols aren't living and idols are not true. They are false. In fact, in Habakkuk chapter 2, it says, what profit the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven, the molten image, and a teacher of lies that the maker of his work trusteth in, to make dumb idols? Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake! To the dumb stone, arise and teach us, or it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. We need to turn away from those things that will not provide what we need. There is no security in an idol, and it has no life, and behind every idol is a demon, and a demon will absolutely lead you astray, just like Satan did Eve in the garden. How are we saved? Well, there are many that believe in Romans chapter 10, verse 10, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, or that is Jesus Christ is Lord, is the way they would put it, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This is known as Lordship salvation. That's not the way of salvation. If Jesus Christ being Lord is a prerequisite for our salvation, when do we know that He is Lord? And or how can we tell when He is Lord? And if making Him Lord provides us with salvation, what happens when He isn't our Lord anymore? A lot of people think that, you know, once you've been saved, you can never do anything wrong. You can never leave the church, never leave Christianity, never leave being faithful. But that's just simply not true. And we know that. We've all experienced backsliding, if you want to use the term. In Acts 2:38, there are those that tell us that we need to repent and be baptized. And repentance and baptism is a message that John preached, not to lost Jews, but to saved Jews, and it pertained to the kingdom of heaven, entering the kingdom of the heavens. So, repentance and baptism is not the way of salvation. Repentance and baptism are for the saved. The saved are the ones who repent. The Lord told Nicodemus, except a man be born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Salvation is from above. It's not what we do ourselves. Now, we do have to respond like the Philippian jailer responded in Acts 16:30 and 31. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." This is so clear. This is the only place in the Word of God that says, how do you get saved? And he tells them how to be saved. He said, believe. And by the way, believe is a verb and not faith, which would be a noun. Faith does not enter into being saved. If we are saved by faith, what happens when we make shipwreck of the faith? What happens when we depart from the faith? And let me tell you, you can't depart from something that you're not at. You can't depart from the car if you're not in the car. You can't depart from the house if you're not in the house. You can't depart from faith if you haven't been in the faith. But you can make shipwreck of the faith, and if we're saved by faith, then you can lose your salvation. But that's not what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God teaches that if you're born into the family of God, you are forever a child of God. And I like it that that the Lord used the illustration of a family. We've all been children of our moms and dads, and many of us have had children. And all of us understand the concept that if a child is born to a man and a woman, there's not a thing that can be done to alter those genes. Not one thing. And the Lord used that to help us to understand and comprehend salvation. Once you have received the genes, a heavenly genes, there's not a thing you can do to change that. Of course, back in the days of Nicodemus, the Lord couldn't talk about genetic engineering and, you know, genetics because, Nicodemus hadn't been to that school yet. Several thousand years too early. But anyway, so we're saved by the verb believe, and we live by the noun faith. You live by faith, and you're saved by using the verb believe. There's more than one salvation in the Scriptures, and this is the reason why it's created a lot of confusion. There are a lot of denominations built on Acts 2:38 and about repenting and being baptized, called baptismal regeneration, as one would put it. And there's a prominent Bible teacher on the radio that teaches lordship salvation. These are errors. Salvation is simply putting our trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, these portions that deal or present a particular position of like baptism and repentance and Jesus Christ being Lord, or confession, actually confessing and believing, have to do with other salvations that we find in the Scriptures. And I want to read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Paul says, Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with age-lasting or eternal glory. Where is the salvation? It's the salvation that's for those that are in Christ. Now, how do you get into Christ? How do you get into the body of Christ? Just like the Philippian jailer got into the body of Christ. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was made part of the body of Christ. Now, the elect have to do with those that are called brethren, that are beloved, and we've been talking about that in the past few Sundays. The elect have to obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus themselves. And so there is a salvation that puts us in the body of Christ, and then there is a salvation in the body of Christ that provides us with special blessings, particularly in the age to come or in the kingdom age. In Luke chapter 15, verses 6 through 7, it says, "And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Here is a sheep that went astray. Here is a sheep that went backslid. He was in the fold, then he went somewhere. He went away from the fold. Sheep are not lost people. Sheep are saved people. And he said unto them, I say unto you that likewise ye shall joy shall be in heaven over one saved sinner that repenteth, more than over 90 and 9 saved just persons who need no repentance. Just repenting doesn't get you saved. So when we find a sheep that has repented, that has been away from the Lord, that doesn't make him saved. So this is dealing, it's saved people who repent. That's the point I want you to get out of the portion of Scripture that deals with the lost sheep or the sheep that went astray. In Romans chapter 10, verses 6 and 7, this deals with the error of the Lordship salvation. That's what I want to emphasize here. It says, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who hath ascended into heaven," that is to bring Christ down from above, "or who shall descend into the deep," that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. In other words, we don't need Jesus Christ to save us again. Faith is not dealing with Jesus Christ being brought down to be re-crucified and raised from the dead a second time. That's already over. That's history. In fact, Hebrews 7:27 tells us, "Who needeth not daily to offer up sacrifice, for this he did once when he offered up himself." In Romans chapter 10, this doesn't need to take place again. But faith is dealing with something else. In Romans chapter 10, verse 8, it says, "What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart," that is, the word of faith. What is the word of faith, basically speaking? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible for who to please him? The lost? No. The saved. Faith is for the saved. In fact, later on in chapter 10, it says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." Faith is not an ingredient that the lost possess. Faith is an ingredient that the saved mature in through the study and the ministry of the Word of God in their life. And I emphasize the fact in 1 Timothy 4:1, it says that there are those who can depart from the faith. If we're saved by faith, then we can lose our salvation. But now I want to read verses 9 and through 11 in Romans 10. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth." This word confess is a verb, and it's in the aorist tense. And what it's saying is we must first start confessing with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. This has to do with our testimony. "And shall believe." This is also in the aorist tense. We have to start somewhere believing. And you'll find both of these words, these verbs here, that is confess and believe, in verse 10. And we need to keep it in context. Believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. This is the salvation that I referred to in 2 Timothy 2:10, the salvation in Christ. This is also known as the so great salvation of Hebrews chapter 2. This is a reference to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And obviously you don't work for your salvation. But you do have to produce fruit if you expect to enter into the salvation pertaining to the coming kingdom of our Lord. Now, let's continue. For with the heart man believeth. That's in the present tense. That's continuous action. You start believing in verse 9, and you continue to believe in verse 10. That leads to the righteousness which is of faith. We need to associate believing in the present tense with faith, because both of them can be stopped. You can stop living by faith. You can stop believing. You can stop being faithful to the Lord. And that's what we're talking about here. Now let's continue. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The word confession is also in the present tense. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth, present active, on him shall not be ashamed. This is what faith produces in a believer. If you're living by faith and confessing him and believing him in the present tense, let me tell you will not stand in his presence ashamed. This is talking about believers. This is not talking about the way of salvation. If this is talking about lordship salvation is the way of salvation, then you can lose your salvation when Jesus Christ is no longer Lord, and you can lose your salvation when you quit confessing, and you can lose your salvation when you quit believing in the present tense. This is not dealing with that. It's dealing whether or not you are that you are a faithful servant and a profitable servant and a fruitful servant, so that you'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, at the judgment seat of Christ. That's what this passage of Scripture is dealing with. Not salvation. And I point out the passage of Scripture that shows you very plainly that you can stop believing in the present tense. That's Luke 8:13. When they hear, receive the word with joy, these have no root, for a while believe, and in a time of temptation or testing, they fall away. You see the word believe? That verb is in the present tense. And you can do that for a while. That's the point. This is a very important verse to tell you that believing in the present tense can stop. So Romans 10 is not dealing with the aorist tense of the verb getting saved as in Acts chapter 16, but this has to do with the believing, continuous action in the present tense, believe in the present tense. Now, this salvation is referred to in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Whom having not seen, you love, present tense. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, present tense. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, receiving the end of pleasing God, receiving the end of passing the test and not departing from the faith, because the test is too tough. There is no test too tough that God will not give you the victory. Even the salvation of your souls. This word soul is also translated life. Life. And you find this in John chapter 12. I just emphasize again, they turn to God from idols to serve. the living and true God. If you serve the Lord, you're going to be where He is, and you're going to be honored by the Father. And that's what we want. Romans, or John 12, verses 24 and 26 through 26. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Fruit bearing is essential if we're going to stand approved in His presence. And this is referring to saved people, not lost people. Lost people don't bear fruit. They bear fruit, but it's not any good. Here is bearing much fruit is important. I may have been a little bit misleading there. Let me tell you, there are saved people that can bear bad fruit. It says, by their fruit you shall know them. Let me tell you, saved people can bear bad fruit. I'm going to just tell you that, so I don't want that to confuse you, but obviously the lost do not bear good fruit at all. He that loveth his life, his soul, and I want you to associate the salvation of the soul in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, with the loving of your soul, will lose it. If you love your own life, if you love your own will, if you love your own way, if you don't want to die to yourself, you're going to lose something. First of all, you're going to lose the Father honoring you at the judgment seat of Christ. Now let's continue. He that loveth his life will lose it, and he that hateth his soul in this world shall keep it unto life in the kingdom. This word eternal is not a very happy translation. It actually would be better translated age-lasting life. Age-lasting life is life that pertains to the coming kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. How can you serve the Lord? How can you follow the Lord if you're choosing your own way and doing your own will? You can't. You've got to die to self. And if you'll die to self, then you're going to receive the end of your faith, the salvation, or the deliverance of your life for the coming age. Let me continue here in verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. That's what we want. So, the passages of Scripture that so-called speak of lordship salvation, baptismal repentance, are distortions of the truth. How does one get saved? Just like the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. These other portions of Scripture have to do with pleasing God. And let me tell you, heaven rejoices over a person who repents of his sin, a saved person who repents of his sin. A lost person can repent of his sin all day, and it won't count for aught. Or it will count for nothing. It's only those who get saved and then turns from their idols and serves the Lord will be blessed by God at the judgment seat of Christ. May the Lord help us to discern through His Word the way of salvation and be not deceived with the thoughts that are going around today. And they are prevalent. We were in South Carolina last year, or I believe it was last year, and we went to a church that had on the sign, we teach the Bible here. And we went into the Sunday school class there and sat down, and I think the pastor had been back in there in the Sunday school room talking to the Sunday school teacher. Because he knew who I was, he knew that I was coming, and he prepared his Sunday school teacher. And when we sat down in that class, There was no time for questions and no invitation for participation, because all they were doing was presenting soulship or lordship salvation. And the reason why there is no opportunity for questions is because they too many holes in that doctrine. And people who can't defend themselves do not want any questions asked. And so we just sat there and just let him tell us a bunch of stuff. And that was the end of that. Unfortunately. And when we left, we knew what happened. The pastor had told him, don't have any participation in your class. There's somebody in here that may give you a problem. And why the Word of God didn't do it to begin with is beyond me. It just simply shows you how men can take positions of other men without studying the Word. Shall we look to the Lord in a word of prayer? Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the security that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation that He has provided for all of mankind, and that it's so simple to receive what You have finished on the cross. We're so thankful, Father, that the Lord Jesus Christ uttered the words, "It is finished." And Father, I have believed that, and I have accepted that for myself, and others in this room have done the same thing, and we're part of Your family, and we're thankful for that. We know, Lord, that we can please Thee by living by faith, that we can please You by making You Lord of our life, and we can please You, Lord, by confessing Jesus Christ, that we need to be witnesses not only here in Minneapolis, and at home and in Minneapolis, but in other parts of the world as You lead. We do want to pray, Lord, that You would just bless the Gideons as they stand as a witness for Thee on street corners and hotels and motels and classrooms in all parts of the world. And we do pray for Your protection upon them. We know, Lord, that many have lost their lives standing faithful to You. We do pray for that open door of passing out scriptures on the streets of our city, and that the rebellion of hell will not, or of Satan and his angels, will not defeat the purpose of sharing portions of scripture with those who so desperately need it. For these things we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen.